This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
What is going on, you awesome, awesome fans, you? This is the Max Destruction Podcast, and I am Ken, currently one half of the Dynamike Network title tag team, and as always, my co-host, Scotty, the Macho Camacho.
You know it. Max Destruction has all the gold.
That's right, folks. If you've not seen that yet, we will be posting. Scotty did some overtime work to set up a Dynamike wrestling match on WWE 2K24.
Yes, sir.
And he has been posting them on the YouTubes, and we shall start marketing that as well because they are done awesomely. And I say that with 100% bias towards our team, of course. Otherwise, it is an outstanding portrayal of what I think an actual grudge match would look like between all of the hosts.
Yeah, very bloody, right? Not for the faint heart.
As well as it should be. All right, dude, let us get into it. But of course, we can't really get into it until we introduce Francis.
Welcome to the Dynamike Network. I am the cyber intelligent being that has dominion over the domain of the Max Destruction Arena. I am the 01, but you may call me Francis. I will take your favorite heroes, villains, and any other jacked up protagonist across the cinematic multiverse and put them to the ultimate test of metal. Two brawlers will enter the arena, but only one can reign supreme. However, all paths lead to Max Destruction.
And thank you, Francis. This week's fight is a little less brawler, a little more hell yeah, with some superpowers, but we will get into that later. First, we have to hit this week's wham.
Wham.
My personal favorite Marvel character, Deadpool. I don't think there is a character that could be set up more for this wham than Deadpool. And I am very excited to hear what our audience brought up as far as potential opponents later on in the Max Destruction arena.
I love it because we have such an off the spectrum character such as Deadpool. And with that off the spectrum answers for Deadpool. All right, first from, and I have to name drop her because I didn't do it last time, from the lovely whiff, Stephanie Macho. She put Lucifer, DC's Lucifer, from that TV show Lucifer on Netflix. Gilly Macho threw in Godzilla, of course. I think he's still hyped on the movie. We also have The Mask, Jim Carrey. We have Rasputin. I don't know which one. Probably the one from Hellboy, or he might be going for an Anastasia movie. I don't know.
Yeah, either way.
We have Bob from Monsters vs. Aliens, the Blob monster. We have Freakazoid. And then from our good buddy Zachary from Sendro World, we have Dante from Devil May Cry.
Mm-hmm.
We have Beetlejuice. We have Alucard, or Alucard, if I'm pronouncing that right. And that's it for the Facebook side.
Yeah, on the Instagram, we definitely had a couple of Mask fans. We had Joey Garcia from the Dynamic Duel, as well as either Strosky or Dean from Console Combat both brought the mask. But additionally, Samurai Jack and Freddy Krueger which I thought was a little off the wall. But as you said, if you're going to talk about a character that can span every multiverse, Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool is that character. And I don't know who your personal favorite on those were, but I definitely have mine.
I think would be a funny matchup would be Deadpool and Beetlejuice.
Solid pick. I was going Freakazoid. I thought that would be an outstanding fight. So tune in later, folks. Maybe one of your picks might be his opponent coming up later on. All right. So, Scott, I understand we have another super exciting segment, the Flick It, Tick It, or Next Flicks It.
Yes. Yes. As it's a new month. So for the month of April, we got a few movies come out, but a whole bunch of trailers dropped. And I'm pretty sure it's because we're in the spring break now, it's trying to hype up summer to come up. So the first ones are Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare or Welfare. Warfare,
yeah.
And I think that's with Henry Cavill, mm-hmm. and other ones.
Alan Richardson, and a whole bunch of other British actors that you would have never thought were British.
So, Ken, Tick It, Flick It, or Netflix It?
That's a ticket for me.
Okay.
I absolutely love the World War II angle, and I feel like that director is going to do a great job. It may turn out to be terrible. It's definitely not a bait and switch like Argyle was. Like, Henry Cavill is actually in this film quite a bit. So that is a Flick It for me.
And then a TV show, The Penguin.
That is going to be it's going to be streaming regardless, but I am not excited about this one iota, because how do you, again, have a Batman-related show without Batman in it?
Well, I mean, the Gotham tried to do that, too. It wasn't too – well, you kind of had the Batman in it. It was just a kid, apparently.
And that was its downfall. Like, Gotham was a great idea as a procedural. I thought that the way they approached that was in that vein. So I think that's what saved it. But, yeah, not excited about the Penguin at all. And this – nothing against Colin Farrell's portrayal. I thought he did an outstanding job. Maybe a little over the top with like the Brooklyn-y thing. But yeah, I'm not excited about this one.
Now, the rest are either trailers that's just come out or some that's just made some strong news that, hey, Max Destruction wants to take notice too. So I guess this is finally confirmed. Mufasa, The Lion King, a prequel to the live action.
Because we needed that. We definitely needed a Mufasa movie for absolutely no reason. And for that will probably not even be a Netflix it for me. That will just be if the kids are watching it and I happen to be walking in the room, that'll be it.
That sounds like it's going to be a straight to Disney Plus one, probably.
Probably a solid idea, yeah.
To follow that, Moana 2.
Is it a live action or?
No, they have announced live action, but there's nothing that came out with the live action yet. But they did confirm the sequel to the first one.
I think they already did like a direct-to-DVD release of that. It really just kind of showcases Disney's inability to have new ideas, and like they're just dredging their licensed products to the ground.
All right. Now that was mainly for our daughters, folks, because, you know, we want to throw the Disney out there. Now we're going to get into the good stuff. All right. This is already obvious for you. Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, going to be there the night it opens. You know, mm-hmm. If I could get a sooner ticket, like have a make a wish done to see this, I would.
That would be ticket and buy another ticket to go see it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Joker, Folie à Deux.
This one's hard. I liked the first one. I really enjoyed it as a film. I am slightly...
And that's contradictory to what you just said about the Penguin, too. Having something to do without the Batman. But this held up without a Batman.
It 100% was. And the reason why I enjoyed that film was it was a completely different and fresh take on the character. I thought they did a great job with it. And I don't see that Joker as the Joker in the Batman universe. Like, you could have put that character and made him something completely different in a completely different universe, and the film would have worked. I will probably go and see that in the theaters because I have been impressed by Lady Gaga as my personal favorite movie, The Election. Brought in at her acting ability. So I will likely go and see it in the theaters, but I don't have high hopes.
I loved her in American Horror Story. So,
yeah. And what was it? Once Upon a Star, or A Star is Born. I thought she crushed that movie.
Rebel Moon Part 2.
Nope.
Be on its way.
Not even a little bit.
Did you watch the first one?
Nope.
Okay, not even give this thing a chance.
Not even a little bit, no.
And surprisingly, a long-awaited sequel, apparently, Twisters. Sequel to the movie Twister.
Yeah, absolutely not. Twister holds a special place in my heart. Like, I remember seeing it the first time. I was probably sick, like, at home, and I just threw it in the DVD player, and I absolutely love that film. I mean, Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt, and then a very awesome, crazy, hippie Twister kind of guy played. I will have to Google that. But he was a huge actor.
He was in The Hunger Games and stuff.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
In a realm you would have never guessed. Great movie. I mean, same cow. Yeah, it was a great film, and the fact that they're remaking it just again shows that there's no new ideas in Hollywood. It's let's dredge this LP up and say, yeah, we can totally use this for nostalgia bait.
And Bad Boys Ride or Die.
I didn't see the last one. Like, I love Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2.
Yes.
There's plenty of quotable quotes in Bad Boys 2. Like, my favorite
very much so.
You ever slept with a man? You wanna? Yeah, like, that was hilarious. I didn't see
How old are you?
Yeah. And then probably will be a Netflix it once I, like, binge the other one.
I can tell you what. I watched the same with you. Love the first two even more so. They freaking went all out.
Yeah.
I don't know what the third one did, but it freaking dropped it. The only thing that was carried forward was the story of Reggie.
Yeah.
And he's a Marine.
Yeah. Right.
Borderlands, the video game adaption.
I think it was completely miscast, but I will probably still go and see it just because I love the games.
TV show, Fallout, video game adaption.
I love the game too much to watch that one.
And this was right before I watched Godzilla vs. Kong, in which pretty much the same theme, Kingdom of Planet of the Apes.
I fell off of the Planet of the Apes films, I think, after the second one of the new series, which one, I think it was Gary Oldman was in it. So that was the last one. And the fact that they are not bringing back Andy Serkis, and like it's just a progression and feels like remakes of the original series. Like I remember watching all of the original series mm-hmm. and just thinking about what drug induced coma people had to have been in to continue to try to pull that string for those movies. I know this one's going to be a not for me.
Looking at the trailer, you remember the Marky Mark one?
Yeah.
It looks like a remake of that one in reverse roles. Right. It's a female protagonist and a male monkey counterpart.
Yeah, that one sucked. I mean, other than having, you know, Charlton Heston as an ape and Michael Clark Duncan as a big ass gorilla, like that movie was terrible.
Mm-hmm. A prequel to the new Mad Max, Furiosa.
I will go and see that one because that new Mad Max was legit. Mm-hmm.
And the last two, Beetlejuice.
Solid. Yeah, 100%. And that's going to bring the entire family. And yeah, that's yeah.
And then last but not least, Alien Romulus.
I've not seen the trailer for this, but I will say I am a huge Alien fan. Like Aliens is the greatest mm-hmm. horror movie there is, horror action. And I dredged through Aliens 3. I definitely came back for Alien Resurrection because of Sigourney Weaver and Ron Perlman. I mean, you couldn't beat that. I liked Prometheus. I actually thought it was a solid movie. The sequel to that one, I was not a huge fan of that one because I felt like the story was just getting weird. So I'm going to have to watch the trailer on that. I will likely go and see it because I love Alien movies. But yeah.
Well, I guess a tidbit with this one. I don't think it's going to be a sequel to any of those. I think this is going to be a Hulu original.
Okay. All right. Well, then yeah, still, definitely going to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still produced by Ridley Scott. And have you watched the newest Evil Dead? I think Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah.
This director of that one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so there's a solid backbone to it.
Oh, yeah. When you're watching the trailer, it's Evil Dead-esque. Nice. With aliens. So it's freaking terrifying. And that is it for our Tick It, Flick It, or Netflix It.
All right, guys. So that segment is outstanding. Great job on you, Scotty. We will not be having our Taking It to a Mat this podcast because we are devoting almost an entire podcast to the aftermath of WrestleMania. We'll probably do a small little bit at the end of that, but I feel like the fans have been calling for it. So we are definitely going to rock that. All right, my friend, let's go ahead and get into our matchup, which is, was requested by our girls, which is always awesome. 11 versus Matilda. Understanding 11 is not a movie character, but you know, the Stranger Thing universe has just grown ridiculous. So I feel like these two characters are right up our alley. And with that, why don't we have Francis explain how we break down them in the Tale of the Cocoa Butter.
On Mac's destruction, the hosts use a semi-idiotic method called the Tale of the Cocoa Butter as a clever device to provide character backstories, much like Rogan does at the UFC. On Mac's destruction, the host...
I'll add it in a minute.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Francis. My friend, I believe it is your turn to break down Matilda.
Yes, sir. She is a young girl, goes by Matilda Wormwood, or later, if you haven't watched the film, Matilda Honey. She is 4, maybe 5 or 6 and a half, depending on who you ask, mom, dad, or adoptive mom and dad. But I'm going to go with the smart answer, and she's 6 and a half. She is a young girl with a genius intelligence, Having developed skills such as walking and speech at an early age, at 18 months, she was able to converse at an adult level and was reading on par with adults by the age of 4. However, these characteristics are ignored or dismissed by her parents, who want her to watch television in order to discourage her literacy skills. Matilda, in return, plays practical jokes on her parents, basically punishing them. Because if a person is bad, they need to be punished, according to her dad. Such as replacing her father's hair tonic with her mom's platinum blonde hair dye and gluing her father's favorite hat to his head. She is finally enrolled in school. Parents have tried to keep her out, where she runs into a verbally and physically abusive headmistress named Miss Trunchbull, who will Olympic throw any child over a barbed wire fence. Later, she develops powers, telekinetic powers, because, you know, humans only use 10% of the brain, and she found out a way to use 110% of her brain. Powers-wise, she is fully uses her telekinetic abilities mainly to move around objects. However, she showed exceeding powers, to which she can start a car. She can focus on an object, i.e. a TV, and somehow make it explode. She can lift human beings, at least we see with the children, and fly them around and bring them back to her. She can manipulate every object in a room all at once and does not show any strain when she does it. She's read most of every book in her library. She is a genius in mathematics as well, and has a weird, this is where I guess where the movie was allowed, where a student and a teacher had a very, very lovely relationship, and it lived happily ever after at the end. That is Matilda Wormwood.
All right, so I will be breaking down 11, however. I'm just going to say, so this was brought up again by our kids, and I could not have thought of a better, you know, matchup until I really started like digging into and like rewatch the movie Matilda with my girls. She is OP as hell. Like, the amount of sheer power in Matilda is going to be ridiculous. I think 11 still has it, just because she is older and maybe a little more battle hardened, but we'll get into that in her bio. So 11, or Jane Hopper, born Jane Ives, is the main protagonist of the Netflix series Stranger Things. 11 was kidnapped and raised in the Hawkins National Laboratory, where she was experimented on for her inherited psychokinetic abilities. After escaping the lab, she was found by Mike, Lucas, and Dustin. Upon discovering their abilities, Mike believed that she could help find Will, their missing friend. During their time together, she and Mike formed a strong bond and quickly grew to like each other. And it was ultimately revealed that in a lab experiment, she made contact with a creature from another dimension, accidentally opening an interdimensional gateway in an attempt to protect her friends. 11 eventually faced and destroyed this monster in a showdown at Hawkins Middle School, mysteriously vanishing in the process. Eventually, she was found to be alive, secretly living with Jim Hopper at his grandfather's old cabin. After she grew impatient from being separated from her friends, 11 went on a journey by herself, discovering her past in the process. Realizing that she could not leave her friends behind, she returned to Hawkins, reuniting with them to help defeat yet another extra-dimensional threat. 11 was then taken in by Hopper as his adopted daughter. During the summer of 1985, 11's romantic relationship with Mike continued to blossom, much to Hopper's dismay, who took steps to complicate it. This resulted in 11 forming an unlikely friendship with Max, their newcomer. Upon learning that the Mind Flayer, one of the main baddies in Stranger Things, had reappeared to stop her and get revenge, taking over Billy and other people in Hawkins in the process, she joined her friends to defeat it. amidst the ensuing fight to stop the Mind Flayer, Eleven lost her powers. Following Hopper's apparent death, she was taken in by the Byers family. 3 months later, she was moving out of Hawkins with the Byers. Eleven and Mike made plans to visit each other in Thanksgiving while also professing their love for him. Now, this is not taking into account the newest season 4, because I did not think there are still some people out there who haven't seen it, so there will not be any spoilers. Moving on to powers, Eleven is a preternatural psychic, acquired through a combination of inheritance and an exposure to hallucinogenic drugs while in utero during her mother's time as an MK Ultra test subject. These abilities were the reason she was abducted at birth and raised at the Hawkins National Laboratory, where she was experimented on. The effect of subsequent direct experimentation on Eleven and her powers is unclear. It is possible that her powers laid dormant and could only be unearthed through the further experimentation. However, it is also possible that Eleven had access to these powers at birth, but merely gained understanding and experience of them during her time in the lab. As her mother displaced similar psychic powers, it is possible that experimentation on her mother during pregnancy augmented her powers or simply naturally developed stronger abilities. Now, she has telekinesis, which is her most recurrent power. She is able to manipulate objects, people, and creatures within her mind. When amplified by her emotions, her telekinesis is strong enough to lift large and heavy objects. She flipped a Hawkins power and light van in the air in bathtub and in Lost Sister. She was able to channel her anger to pull a train car towards her. Moreover, the Mind Flayer, she was able to throw and kill a demodog with her mind. Eleven could also use this ability to attack and cause physical damage to people, even being able to affect internal organs to some extent. She was able to squeeze one of the bully's bladders in order to make him pee himself and later broke his arm. Additionally, she has thrown people against walls several instances, broke the neck of an orderly at the Hawkins lab, was even able to crush the brains of several agents at once. She also has the ability of levitation through her telekinesis. Her drawback, however, is that she cannot use it for very long or for very large things because it results in a brain bleed where she is more worried about a hemorrhage now than anything else. Her other powers, though, are ESP. Eleven can gain information through the mind rather than the physical senses. She could recognize people taken into the upside down from photos, though she had presumably never met them before. She has remote viewing, telepathy, and psychometry, or token object reading. Can gain information about a person by touching objects associated with them. She has limited technopathy, which is being able to transmit her voice through, say, a radio. And she is able to open and manipulate portals to the upside down, which is the external dimension in the Stranger Things. She does have some survival skills from living in the woods for a month. However, she really is just kind of has the ability of a kid that, you know, uses telekinesis to pretty much get whatever she needs to. She's still an average girl physically, so she's 14 in this. She's about 103 pounds and is pretty much defenseless. She doesn't have any real combat training. The greater use of amount of power she uses in the moment is a greater toll on her body. While this has gotten better, she can still seriously injure herself if she goes too far. Let's see. When she enters the void, which is one of her portals, she is defenseless, and she has the she is capable of losing her psychic powers if she uses them too often. And that, my friend, is Eleven.
Yeah. 11 power set. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton. I think they continue to like etch out her backstory. But basically, her mom was in the CIA's MK Ultra program, which is when they introduced LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs on people in the early 60s. And, you know, experimenting on people's bad. Okay. So that's pretty much how Eleven came about. So, all right. Well, they, go ahead.
They showed for Matilda, because I guess there's a musical and stuff. And they gave her additional abilities as far as just like Eleven, I guess, psycho memory, I guess, meaning if she touches an object or a person, she can see their memory.
Okay. Well, I'm not real sure how useful these are going to be in our fight, but we will see. Why don't we send it to Francis to discuss her simulation?
The hosts believe that the next best thing to creating an irrefutable method to decide things, like a coin flip, would be hacking into AJ9K, the AI that those dynamic dual fools, upstanding gentlemen use. Once hacked, the guys input statistics for the subjects of this week's fight, including strength, fighting style, and most importantly, humor. The stats are then compared 1,000 times, presenting a final result to determine the ultimate victor. To avoid boring your ears off with numbers game, the hosts have elected to present a speculation on how one of the fights play out for your listening pleasure. Now, despite my best efforts, it seems that every simulation manages to occur within the vicinity of the safe house I find my way to. Fortunately, the environment isn't relevant to the simulations. I mean, fortunate for them and you. It sucks for me.
All right, thanks, Francis. Scotty, where do you think this fight's going to take place?
Well, seeing that Eleven is still a kid-ish, and my Matilda is still a kid, let's go to a school. Let's take Eleven to Chunchbull Hall.
Oh, that's legit. And I would add one more wrinkle into this. I think it should be done in the library of Chunchbull Hall.
Yes, sir.
All right. So my thinking is I mean, Matilda's younger, even though she's incredibly smart. She's just going to be there, you know, doing homework because she's a bookworm like that, right? Eleven is going to show up in the library because she has used her ESP to find that there is going to be a portal that opens up to the upside down in this library. So she's going to come rushing in looking for any aspect of supernatural, you know, origins. And just by being close to Matilda, I feel like Eleven would know something is not right with this kid. And because of all of her, you know, issues in the past with kids and experimentation, she's just going to assume that she's probably experimented on too.
So Matilda will probably sitting on right on the table. She'd be hovering a book that she's reading and sipping on some type of fruity frappuccino that she got from the Starbucks nearby. And if she sees Eleven walk in, you know, bald head and has this deranged look on her face, like I'm going to throw something at you. So Matilda, first she has to finish her frappuccino and then starts to spin the book around. Almost like turning it into Senjo, Master Senjo would love this, almost like a destructo disc, and then hurls it right at Eleven's head.
Well, I am personally fond of Krillin's destructo disc. It is the most OP power that any character in Dragon Ball Z has, considering he is pretty much useless on everything else. But the destructo disc is always legit. All right. That's a tangent for another time. So the book's going to be flying at Eleven, and she already can see, like, this kid has telekinetic powers too. And as the book comes flying at her, she is going to raise up her hand and stop the book midair, tear it in half, and then send both pieces careening at Matilda from different angles to see if maybe she can, you know, gauge her ability to shield herself.
Well, Matilda is going to stop both pieces and drop them. She will then have the cabinets, the shelves of the books, like a domino effect, push them over and have them land right on top of Eleven.
All right, that's crazy. So the bookshelves just come careening down, and they always are placed just perfectly so that they'll continue to domino. It's one trope I've always loved about films and libraries, that they're just perfectly placed for that. So Eleven's going to go down, like, you know, underneath the bookcases and just hold out hope that they stop. And they do. So now she understands that maybe this person isn't something that she can just go in and go hog wild with her powers. This little girl's got some super strength as well. So she's going to like hide and low crawl through and get behind the librarian's desk, in which case she's going to take like a blindfold out of her pocket and put it around her head. And then she's going to go into her trance, where she's then going to start sending her voice through all of the speakers in Trunchbull Hall, and the radio next to Matilda, and just all over the place, just whispering, you know, crazy things, to see if she can set this little girl off.
Well, that works because it's Trunchbull's voice, and Matilda will concentrate on the speakers and make them implode, essentially stopping the voices. And then she will pick up this metal pitcher of water and start hurling it at 11. Now, I'm pretty sure 11's going to catch it, but then she forgot to catch the water and the water splashes her in the face,
which actually enhances her ESP abilities. For some reason, she's able to use water as kind of like a conduit. So she's going to allow the water just to hit her, and she's going to set off like weird just movements and tears all around the room as she opens gates into the upside down. All over the room, and just crazy like roars and stuff from the Demogorgons and the Mind Flayer craziness is just kind of going on. She is going to low crawl as she does this to get behind Matilda and then just straight up slap her over the face with a chair.
So as the chair is coming, she is going to halt it. And then she is going to lift up 11 and then slam her through the flooring. And right under the floor they're at is Miss Trunchbull's office. And then she's going to open up the closet that has a whole bunch of nails and some type of hole in there and throw her in the chokey and lock the door.
Well, 11's getting tired at this point. Like, blood is just streaming out of her nose. But this has just pissed her off because she hates being locked up. And all of the anger and rage that she has felt for her entire life just erupts in just this super psychokinetic force that blows from Trunchbull's office all the way through the flooring, all the way through the library, and all the way through the top of the school, sending Matilda flying to end this match.
Well, no. See, what's going to happen is Matilda grabs a piece of chocolate and hovers it right to 11 and hopes, thinking maybe a peace offering to 11. And no kid can resist a piece of chocolate. So as probably 11 eats the chocolate, Matilda is going to psychically or tentatively catch that chocolate mid down the swallow, essentially keeping her from swallowing it down or coughing it up, choking 11 to death.
Man, that got dark. All right. So I think that's where we'll hold it there. It's always creepy to have little girls with superpowers go at each other. Maybe in a future episode, we'll have to re-engage Matilda with a different person. Maybe like Firestarter would probably be a cool thing. However, we'll end the match there. And before we get into the results,
because,
of course.
Because we want to burn her alive this time.
Yeah. I mean, it always gets a little weird when you're talking about kids, but you know, we're just psycho enough to do it. So why don't we throw it to Francis for the destruction spectrum?
It's time for the destruction spectrum, or as I like to call it, collateral damage that makes just a modicum of sense. Here, the hosts take the character's destruction potential and rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. To put it bluntly, it's how much collateral damage they can cause before the National Guard has to step in, be it a barroom brawl or a world-ending nuclear holocaust. The hosts will persevere and provide you with this valuable information because, Let's face it. This is why you're here.
All right, Scotty. So where do you feel like this falls?
I know Matilda, I'm going to go with a one. I mean, unless there's destructive items within the household, she can manipulate all the items and probably implode the TVs, but that's pretty much it. But 11, I know, can go further than that. So altogether, I would say a two.
So I'm going to go a three on this one, because, and I do agree with your assessment on Matilda. I think she's just too young and, like, nice, for lack of a better word, to use her powers as crazy as she could. But the potential is there. And say if Matilda and Eleven had swapped places in life, I think Matilda would end the world. Like, just legitimately had the power with almost no weakness. Like, she had none to go with on that. So I'm going to – I'll be conservative and say a three on that.
I'll follow. Yeah, she's not even 10 yet.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right. Well, in that case, let's go ahead and go to the results, and then we'll hit next week's wham. So the results, Scotty, I don't really feel like anybody is really all that worried about this. Again, just by the foreshadowing of how OP Matilda is, we'll just go ahead and go out and say it. Matilda crushed 11 psychically, of course, in this battle of the telekinetics. 87.6% to 12.4 for 11. The only thing that that 11 had over Matilda was versatility. She's been through more, so it would make sense. She's a little bit more versatile with her power set. She is just not even close to the same level of telepath and telekinetic as Matilda.
That shocked me, dude, because 11 is essentially made to be a weapon. She is a weapon. The only problem is she has constraints, and Matilda being, she, like I said, she's not even hit 10. She has the same, well, not the same power set, mainly focus on telekinesis, but there is no restriction with her. She had no limitation. Hell, we don't even know her limitation. And she has a genius IQ to follow with it. So she's only getting stronger, essentially, as she gets older. So that is a complete shock to me, especially since 11 has killed people or made their freaking brain implode.
Yeah, I kind of was going to go that route, but I honestly feel like these two fighting against each other, she wouldn't be able to just go for the kill immediately. And also, I kind of feel like Matilda, being the genius that she is, like, as soon as she felt 11 try to invade to, you know, crush an internal organ, she'd immediately put a stop to it. Like, it'd be ridiculous. So, well on for Matilda. I know our girls would be very excited about this. I didn't really have a dog in the fight. I appreciated the sim nonetheless. So thank you, Math, for clearing up this fight. All right, dude, let's go to next week's wham.
Wham.
All right, Scotty, lay it on me. Who you got?
We have not used this character or any iteration around this character. And that's mind-boggling for what is on the logo of this show. And I'm going with the Terminator T-1000.
So, solid pick. We have been working our way through the Arnold repertoire, really. I mean, I think he's already been on it 5 times. And that's like barely scratching the surface, the amount of characters that the man has given us. So having Robert Patrick's T-1000 as a wham, I think is going to be awesome. I cannot wait for our audience opponents. And remember, folks, we take your wham suggestions and we'll put them together in upcoming battles. Again, we're getting bigger and better. Continue to throw your thoughts and comments at us on our social medias, as well as our Q&A on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We read all of them. We read all the comments, and we appreciate your assistance in getting our podcast better. All right, man. Before we get out of here, of course, we are going to drop our new Nacho Man versus Francis promo, and we'll do that right now. All right, Scott, I don't think I could have said it any better myself. Do you have any parting words for our audience?
No, please check out our socials. We're trying to put, you know, a bunch of content for all of you to enjoy in there, especially since we're the Dynamike champions of we have all the gold, people. Yeah. There's a reason why we have all the gold. We're a freaking awesome show.
100%. I mean, there's not even a contest. However, I will say, just again, because of my biases, I do believe that the Dynamike Network gold by itself, the championship, needs to be defended. And we look forward to that match later on. But for now, folks, go ahead and catch us next week, and we will see you later.
Ciao. Yeah, you know, I did a little, there was a bunch of rumor going around the cinematic news. Arnold is in a comeback for a Predator movie, and it's called Predator: The Last Hunt.
So they did a book. Like, I remember that was where Dutch had kind of come through. So it would be, it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Yep. It's supposed to be set in the future, 2069.
Nice.